Joining us this morning, your state senator, Brad Hawkins. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jeff. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, good to have you on as well. Boy, lots going on. We'll just dive right in. We've heard about this state revised forecast, the budget. What can you tell us? Revenue forecast, rather, I should say. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it's positive. The state budget process includes a revenue update quarterly. So every quarter, the economic revenue forecast provides data to the state of Washington to say, this is kind of what you could potentially expect in terms of state revenues. And in recent months and years, it's been, you know, ticking up and ticking up, and it continues to do that. So with this June quarterly forecast, the revenues are estimated to be $1.5 billion more than what was expected when we developed the current two-year budget. So at the end of this 2021 to 2023 budget cycle, we're going to be up about $1.5 billion is what they anticipate. Now, again, we have about a $64 billion two-year budget. So $1.5 billion, while it's helpful and going in the right direction, you know, it's nothing crazy in terms of a surplus. But you know, it's just interesting to Jeff to observe what has happened to the state budget in the years that I've been there. In basically the last 10 years during Governor Inslee's term in office, it is basically doubled in terms of state spending from about $34 billion in 2013 to 2015 until about $64 billion, which is where we're at today. And so it's gone up. Fortunately, the revenues are holding up, but you know, there are a lot of warning signs as well with the economy, with record gas prices, with high inflation, and things like that. So I think lawmakers are a little nervous about the budget, frankly.
Well, and as you know, your constituents are feeling the pain at the pump, and perhaps yourself, but I know many of your colleagues in Olympia have called on the governor to provide some relief by eliminating the state tax on gas. He's refusing to do that just out of pure fear that the gas or the oil companies won't comply, and they'll just simply increase prices. Where do you weigh in on that?
Well, I think people need some relief. And the thing is with gas prices, it's not just the pain at the pump, but it's also, it trickles down through all your other impacts, all your groceries. So I have a Subaru Outback, and I filled up my Subaru, which, you know, it used to cost me about $30, $35, you know, sometimes $40 if I was totally empty. Now I'm basically over double that. I think I filled up my Subaru, and I had 3/4 of a tank to fill up, and it cost me $78. And you know, at some point families just really can't get by, you know, feeling the pinch of that. I was at my son's all-star baseball practice the other day, and I overheard some families. They weren't talking to me, but one of the families was saying, you know, we go do our monthly shopping at Costco. Normally it costs us about $300. We spent $500 doing the grocery shopping this month. That's how much it costs us. And so that difference at the pump and also when you're checking out at the grocery line is a real, real impact. And it's not something sustainable for families all across America. And we are, as lawmakers, we're cognizant of that in Washington. I think there needs to be some tax relief, even if it's at least on a short-term basis, especially with these budget surpluses and revenues that are coming in. You know, something to send a message to families that, you know, we feel your pain a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we've had a couple of recent decisions, the U.S. Supreme Court impacting some things in our state. We've got the abortion situation, Roe versus Wade, and then we also had that football coach out in Bremerton, the Supreme Court standing by him. What are your thoughts on those issues?
Yeah, very interesting. You know, this Bremerton issue as a coach, and I remember that whole case in Bremerton when I was in the State House of Representatives, and I had no idea at that time it would trickle all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, but it did. And the Supreme Court sided with him in terms of free speech, and that sort of, you know, prayer on the field just by a coach, not a team sort of prayer, but a coach prayer, individual prayer, the Supreme Court sided with him. And honestly, that could really shake up the separation a bit of church and state and the empowering freedom of coaches and teachers to have individual prayer, even if they're in a public space. And so as the ranking member of the Senate's Education Committee, there might be some of those issues that come before us. And people may say, oh, well, we should, some people will call upon us to change the law. Well, you can't change the law. The U.S. Supreme Court just ruled that speech is constitutionally protected. So there's no law you can make to change that, because it would be unconstitutional. And so, but many people, including myself, you know, we appreciate, you know, the court preserving free speech. And then in the other ruling, of course, with the abortion case, in a 6-3 ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the Roe versus Wade decision from 1973. And of course, we've heard all about it in national news. That's a real landmark decision. But there's a lot of miscommunication, I think, too, from different groups. Obviously, people are excited on both sides. But that 6-3 ruling essentially says, in my opinion, as I understand it, and I'm not a constitutional law professor by any means, but it basically says that the U.S. Constitution is silent on abortion. And so, it's that decision by the high court is not saying that abortions are legal or illegal. It's just basically saying that abortion is not necessarily a constitutional right, in the United States. So in absence of that, with that clarification, there would either need to be federal law permitting abortions, or the policy is basically left up to the states. And so that's kind of where the debate will take place. There are many states that currently allow abortions: Washington State, California, Oregon. You know, those are three of the approximately 21 or 25 states that allow abortions, but there are many that don't. And then some of these states have passed these trigger laws. If the Supreme Court rules it like this, then these abortions are illegal, and then those trigger laws that have already been passed in some of those states are being challenged within the court system as well. So I don't think the legal fight is totally over, but the political process has definitely begun. You know, Governor Inslee says he's banding with the governors of Oregon and California to allow, you know, preserve abortions. Governor Inslee wants a constitutional amendment in our state to preserve the right to abortion. I don't think a constitutional amendment is ever going to happen in our state, because it would require a 2-thirds vote and then a vote of the people. But it's kind of an interesting process. I know the governor of California is trying to do a constitutional process. President Biden at the federal level says, well, we're going to try to pass a federal law to preserve abortions under law, but I don't think that's something that is ever going to make it through Congress, too. So it is going to be left up to the states at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, closer to home, good news, completion of the West Kashmir Bridge.
Yes, very excited about that. That was a major project for Chelan County, for Chelan County to see that project all the way through to completion through the COVID phase and supply chain issues is really remarkable. It's a $27 million bridge. It was pieced together through a patchwork of different local, state, and federal funding sources, one of which was state funding, and I was proud to have been a part of that as a sponsor in the transportation budget for the state funding. And I rounded up some key bridge ambassadors from various different local governments in Chelan County to advocate for that funding. And we did secure some at the state level for that. But what's interesting, Jeff, is that bridge is still tied a little bit to your Chelan community because that no-see-em intersection that was out is out there between Chelan and Manson did get funding, and it actually got funding priority in 2015 above the West Kashmir Bridge. And that West Kashmir Bridge actually was potentially going to lose out on funding, and the bridge was literally falling apart. And so we had to like spring together to get that funding. But now Chelan County has that no-see-em intersection completed, which I think the people in Chelan and Manson enjoy. But then also the West Kashmir Bridge is now completed too. So, but yeah, it's a big, big deal for Chelan County. And I just wanted to congratulate their elected officials, past and present, and all their staff, including their public works and engineering staff, for pulling that off. A lot of these major projects are state projects, so the whole state of Washington and the DOT is all involved in that. Well, in this case, this was a county-led project, and Chelan County came through in a big way, and is going to really help that whole Upper Valley and the community of Cashmere. So we're very pleased about that. I was at the bridge dedication last week, along with Commissioner Gaynor and Representative Steele, so it was great to be there.
Yeah, it was a monumental task. What, almost $27 million bridge?
$27 million bridge. It was a collection of, like I said, local, state, and federal dollars. But we were proud to be a part of it in a small but meaningful way at the state level to secure funding. We actually helped secure the final $5 million of, to close the remaining funding gap for Chelan County. And the Regional Port Authority was involved, the City of Cashmere, Crunch Pack, Chelan County, Cashmere School District. It was, it was really a team effort to kind of piece that all together. And it was really an example of just what Chelan County engineering staff had to go through, piecing together all the funding sources, the COVID timelines, the supply chain, and working with the railroad and the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, because it went over and Wenatchee River, and you had salmon issues and other things. So it was really an accomplishment, and I was proud to be a part of the dedication last week.
And I understand high honors for Chelan County Public Works Director Eric Pearson.
Yeah, and Eric was actually, he was there obviously for the dedication, and he was at that meeting in 2017 where I rounded up the chairs of the House and Senate Transportation Committees and all of these local ambassadors, and Eric was a part of that. And Representative Gaynor was a part of that. But at the time, if you remember, he was County Commissioner Keith Gaynor advocating for Chelan County. So Representative Gaynor had some really good comments and offered some really good perspective at the bridge dedication. But, in some ways, your city of Chelan, I think a lot of people, some people just resented that NOCM intersection got preferential funding over the West Cashmere Bridge completion. But now the good news is, some years later, both projects are done, and we can all move forward and try to maximize the opportunities for our county. And there are a lot of transportation needs in our county still. So we're, as legislators from the 12th District, we're going to keep at it.
Mm-hmm. All right. A great report this morning, Senator. What's next?
Well, hopefully it's a decent wildfire season, but I am a little bit concerned about that. We did get some good precipitation, but this time of year, it's always something that concerns me, especially around the 4th of July. I want to encourage everybody to enjoy their Independence Day here in this next week. Get out on the lake, have a great time, but be very responsible, both with your consumption of adult beverages and also any fireworks. We just hopefully people enjoy community fireworks celebrations. We don't need any man-made wildfires. But if we can get through the wildfire season, hopefully have a great tourism season up there in Chelan and Manson, that'd be awesome. And then I start looking ahead towards next legislative session. I'm actually coordinating my fall listening tour that I'll hold in September. And then I have a new portion of the district over in Snohomish County and King County. So I'll be attending a portion of a listening tour over there. And then a lot of constituents are still contacting me on various issues, and we're happy to help them. And as some of these national newsworthy events take place, either about Supreme Court or gas prices, inflation, and wars, feel free to reach out to my office if you have any concerns about that, and if you wanted to share your thoughts and opinions with me, because I really appreciate hearing from the people I'm elected to serve.
All right. Senator Brad Hawkins, making a community connection this morning. Have yourself a great 4th as well. We do appreciate it.
Sounds great, Jeff. Take care.